from someone on the outside in, and as someone who has helped one and starting to help a second fire department, for an hour a week, if you can get just a little better and maybe down the road be able to, maybe your tank lasts a little longer, right? Maybe your Scott pack lasts a little longer. Even 15 seconds, 20 seconds. That could be life and death. God forbid.
Hey, it's Nicholas from 1075. Welcome back to another episode of 1075 Chatter. Today's guest, we have John Kiritin.
Kandergene.
Yes. Okay. John from PAD performed as Design Fitness. Can we begin with just tell me a little bit about yourself, how you started this journey of fitness, and how did you start your business? How you started your business?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I've gotten to know you, Nick, and everybody at the shop a little bit in the past. Is it a year yet? Maybe it's a year. Almost coming up on a year. I don't know. Where do I start? I wrestled in high school. I really stayed in the gym through college and after. I found CrossFit. I think in about 2011, somewhere around that time after I graduated college. And I just found that I enjoyed the challenge of it and the push and the technique and the skill and that it was infinitely scalable and all those things that you've probably all heard. I just found that I enjoyed it and I enjoyed helping other people in class and started coaching. And it was really just a hobby as I was, working my full-time job. Got a job as a coach, part-time on the side. And I always kind of knew that I wanted to own my own business. Both my parents owned their own businesses. They were both entrepreneurs. I always had that drive. So for a very long time, for years really, I was trying to figure out what the synergy would be between owning my own business, doing what I enjoyed doing. I didn't really know. It took me a long time to figure out that I could how to make money and earn a living with fitness other than just coaching a CrossFit classes a week. So that's like my business side of things where I've moved from working a job to owning my own business and earning a living and being an entrepreneur that way. I grew up in Bergen County. I was born and raised in Wyckoff. I went to Don Bosco Prep. I went to Marist College. I actually majored in criminal justice. So we see where that got me. I'm here owning my own business. No, I mean, that's obviously very hard. The tests and the interviews, yeah. And it's a very hard thing to get into. So I kind of pursued whatever was going to help me to pay back my college loans and pay my bills and earn a decent living. I worked at Don Bosco Prep for a period of time.
And you got to enjoy what you do.
You have to enjoy what you do. Honestly. Otherwise, you don't have the fuel to do it. You just don't have the persistence and dedication and motivation and energy to do it. There's no way. I live in Oakland now. I have two kids. That is the best, hardest thing in the world, raising children. It is.
It's a workout.
It's exhausting, but it is infinitely rewarding. You get to really mold these little humans and help them develop their character and guide and teach them and raise them in faith and to be good Christians and honest citizens and just people of honesty and integrity, which is really, that's the mirror, really the most rewarding thing in my life right now.
And they look up to you and how you, yeah. What you do, what you say on
everything. They are like little, I'm going to date myself, tape recorders. No, they absorb everything. Good, the good and the bad. So
yeah, they see you working out. Do they join
they
you?
They do. Yeah, they do. They copy that too. My little guy will like climb on, you know, climb on things and pull himself up onto things. And Rosie knows how to deadlift with proper form. And yeah, it's awesome. It's neat. It's really cool. I mean, as far as the business, I started my business in, I think, March of 2017. So that's 7 years, right? 24, 7 years I'm in business.
Yeah.
7 years. I opened my LLC in 2017, so it was probably a little longer than that. Maybe almost going on 8 years, like actually going to people's homes to train them. And I started with a barbell and some weights in the back of my truck because I knew what I liked. I knew what I liked sharing with people, and I knew what equipment I had, like what I guess tools or assets that I had. I had a barbell, I had some plates, and maybe a kettlebell or two. And so I put those to work for me. I had a truck. It was easy to bring it around, whatever. I started in the summer. It was easy to train people in the morning. It was cool out, generally pretty nice. Most people had a garage, so like that was easy. I knew winter was coming, so I had to kind of solve that problem. Like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Like, where am I going to go? Not everybody has the room to do it in the garage or in their house. I can't bring barbells and plates inside. And I refused to pay rent. I was not going to pay rent.
I don't blame you. It's expensive.
It and now, is
from
absurd.
7 years ago and looking
to
at
now,
it now,
it's yeah. Yeah, Nick, it's wild, right? So, yeah, I just kind of viewed that as, it's a necessary expense for business owners and running a business, but I just viewed that as such a massive bite out of my monthly revenue. Certainly at the time I couldn't afford it, but I've built a business off of not paying rent now. And so, I was able to put that money back into the business and grow and scale and all of it.
And
so,
obviously you have two trailers, correct?
Two trailers, two trucks, and two other trainers that work for me, right? So,
and that rent that you would pay for is paying for that.
Exactly. And exactly.
Don't have to go into it. It may be paid off, but
right.
Trailer is easier to pay off than a...
Right, and it's something that is mine at the end of the day, right? Yep. Eventually, yes, the big trailer, there's a payment on the big trailer, but it's at the, you know, I think in another year it's going to be paid off.
At the end of the day, it's yours.
It's mine.
So,
right?
You don't have anybody coming, hey, you can't be here anymore.
Exactly.
We're selling the place.
Exactly. Right? There's no, that's kind of not over my head.
And it doesn't eliminate you as you, I've seen you on 80 and going up to, I guess, Sparta or something, coming back from Sparta. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far you actually go.
I'll go anywhere. I have clients in Florham Park and Whippany, and I was training somebody in Englewood for a period of time and Garfield, so not close from Franklin Lakes over Wyckoff necessarily, especially not towing a trailer. I love it. I love the truck and trailer part. I love the fitness part, the relationship building, because in fitness and specifically training, you spend a lot of time with people. 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week, four hours a week. There was a guy I was training four times a week for a period of time. Texts and phone calls and conversations about nutrition and random conversations during the day and checking in with people on how they're eating and of course, there's always rest time between sets, so you end up chatting about things, and sometimes there's therapy sessions, there's a lot of time and a lot of relationship building. And for anybody who has built any business, I've spoken to this about most of you, and certainly Ryan and Larry, a major portion of business is relationship building and keeping your word and doing what you say you're going to do and, calling people back is huge now because the people don't, right? You get ghosted or you get ignored or whatever.
And it's not like you push. You don't sell something. You just – and it's like the same aspect as 1075 is, well, friendly as brother, sister.
Right.
And we all get along, and there's a click to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, we're trying to sell this. Here,
no.
You need your protein.
You can tell that you guys love it and enjoy it and are into it. And, the fire service side of things for most of you, people can sense that. And I like to think that my clients and all of you guys get that from me. Like I do my best to live it myself, mm-hmm. and I share it because I like it. I love it. It's just a part of my life, right? It's become a part of Amanda's life. It's part of my kids' life. You know, my mom is just turned 70. She works out a couple times a week. There are very few genuine things in our world right now, and I think that's refreshing to people. And so when you can't possibly fake it for this long.
No.
Right? So same with you guys, right? You walk into the shop and the banter and the laughing and the you guys are all working hard. I say to you guys all the time, when I look into a vehicle and there's wires all over the place, and I don't know really what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But I really respect the craftsmanship that all of you guys have. So you can tell you love it. That's the energy.
Yeah. And you too. And especially how you train, and you're able to make it fun, and it's not, oh, I got to go training and it's going to be boring or something. But it's fun. It's fun to do it. It's entertaining, and it's a learning experience.
Well, some of you guys are entertaining for sure.
Of course. Sometimes you have to draw us a map. But.
Right. That's right. Yeah. No. It's one of my favorite sessions all week for sure. Yeah. Coming into
that's good.
Training you guys. Yeah. Good. It really is. I really enjoy it. I really have fun. So.
Hopefully. You laugh at the end of the day, and that's because of us.
I look forward to coming. I really do. You know, I've said this to other clients of mine. There's nobody that I really don't like going to. I really mm-hmm. do genuinely enjoy all my clients. You know, my guys are all good guys. Certainly different energy level and different ages, mm-hmm. and they are all different relationships. But I certainly do try to have fun with everybody because from – like most people that are dads, right? If not dads, they're most of them are business owners. No, I think everybody's a dad, at least on you know, dad or grandparent or was a dad at one point. So this is their, as I was saying before we got on, this is your hour to yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? So some guys will come in the trailer and just sit down and. Even if it's 5:30 in the morning, like I train Ryan at 5:30 in the morning, it's a lot of times it's just reset time. And the fitness is beneficial, and the fitness is important, but just as important is the reset time and the fuel up time yourself.
What would you say as your clientele is half police, fire? EMTs or?
I would say most are not, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Most are not. Maybe a quarter, 25% are maybe firefighters, 2 or 3 police officers. Maybe, I think, 2 retired. Yeah, mostly retired. I don't think I have any. Maybe 1 active law enforcement, but it's mostly not. And my first, I guess you could say, introduction to that was Mawa Company 4. I had a friend of mine who was, I have a friend of mine who is a part of that fire department, that company, Company 4 in Mawa, and I always had a sense, like even years ago, that fitness, of course, right? Fitness is important to any public service, right? Of course, fire and law enforcement, but that was a missing link, especially for volunteer, right? And so, I feel that I can bring something to the table. To be able to help them, to be able to help all you guys, in the experience of what it's like to train the way I'm training, and you know, train as a group and get you guys to, or a firehouse to work together as you all do together very well. I can bring equipment and implements to a firehouse that that most gyms don't have, right? Atlas stones or the yokes or the farmer carry handles or, you know, any odd object training, right? Bench pressing and squatting is great, but you're not going, you generally don't do those kind of things on a fire call. So, you know, to fill all of your planes of movement, your sagittal plane, your frontal plane, your transverse plane, right? I'm kind of geeking out a little bit right now, but that's real life, right? We don't live in a front to back, left to right world. Most of it's rotational, train your transverse plane. And so to be able to train in that way with the tools and the implements and the equipment that I have and be able to bring it to a firehouse that might not even have a gym of their own. I mean, Company 4 has a beautiful gym upstairs. But
most volunteer departments don't.
Yeah, right. So
I mean, the two I'm on don't. We have small firehouses. I mean, one of them does have a couch area and stuff, but we don't have a weight room.
Right.
And maybe Bergen County probably has most of that stuff.
Right.
Maybe some Passaic County, but
yeah,
most of the volunteers don't have it.
Right.
And coming from a volunteer thinking, you don't realize you're out of shape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you looked at me 2 years ago, you'd be like, holy shit.
Well, I know even in the time that we've been training, Nick, and in the time that I've seen you, you've changed even the time that I've seen you. So if it has doubled since I've met you, then, I mean, you've changed completely.
Yeah. It's and honestly, from my experience, I didn't realize I was getting that big.
Of course.
And it's like you don't see it's a problem till it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you have your brothers or sisters that gotta drag your ass out.
Exactly.
And you gotta serve the citizens. Are you really helping them if you're not helping yourself?
This is exactly the conversation that I've had with Company 4, and not so much, it's not so much anymore, but because I've been working with them for so long. But not only is your time and effort and energy and blood, sweat, and tears invested into your own fitness and insurance policy for yourself to get home and to get out of the fire or get out of the situation or whatever. It's for the man or woman next to you. God forbid to the person in the house so that you can help that person get out and get yourself out. It is a massive insurance policy for a couple hours a week.
Agreed. And I know there's guys, they'll preach and they'll be like, oh, I spend 3 hours at the gym. I spend 5 hours at the gym. You have people that also spend an hour a day or hour a couple days, and they have a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got these guys that do 6-7 hours and they're just bulky. And
right,
it's like, can you actually use those muscles to perform real life situations, or is that just show?
Yeah, you know, Nick, and this is, I hope that no one misunderstands this, and this is not an accusation of anyone, but and I've had similar conversations with other people, but what I don't necessarily understand is the aversion to any kind of self-care or self or fitness at all, and on the part of the fire service or law enforcement. There are standards that you need to meet in order to get in. And I think you were just talking about this with somebody on the Drew. I think you guys were just talking about the fitness standards with Drew.
Yeah, OSHA's starting to push more regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Both certifications and fitness and physical, what's it called? Physicals.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and I'm aware that there is some recoil and aversion to, well, now we're going to hold you all to standards once you're in and retest you. I can and I can't understand why people would recoil from that.
Mm-hmm.
The pursuit always should just be, in my opinion, now I'm not in the fire service and I'm not in law enforcement, so I can only understand it to a point. I can understand it on a human level, like, now is another standard I have to meet. Okay. Yes. I mean, for law enforcement, you have to requalify when you shoot. Right? We have standards. I have to do continuing education for to maintain my personal training certification. You guys all have drill nights and you have to practice and stay up on things. On a human level, I can understand why someone would say, "Oh man, now I have to get more fit, and now I have to eat better, and now I gotta work hard in the gym." I can understand that, but then you also have a responsibility, and nobody's saying, you know, when you're 60, these guys that are 60 have to maintain the same fitness level as when they started when they were 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever. But as I've said to you guys in the shop, right, progress, not perfection. It should be, I would think, and again, maybe I don't have a complete understanding of it because I'm not in the same boat as all of you guys, but from someone on the outside in and as someone who has helped one and starting to help a second fire department, Mahwah and now Oakland, for an hour a week, if you can get just a little better and maybe down the road be able to, you know, maybe your tank lasts a little longer, right? Maybe your Scott pack lasts a little longer, even 15 seconds, 20 seconds. That could be life and death. God forbid.
I got to agree because what really changed my mind is I was into fitness and I was like, yeah, I don't really want to go to the gym. Not my scene. And then one day we were at a fire and I'm like exhausted and I'm like, I got to do something. Mm-hmm. I should not be exhausted that fast. And after that, we would have other jobs and it's like, wow, I still got more momentum. Mm-hmm, more energy. It's like, I can't, like, I'm not exhausted as fast or I'm able to
That's
do
amazing.
More. And it's like,
That's amazing.
And I feel better also mentally, physically, other than being sore all the time and just,
yeah.
So most of the time, but it's a good feeling.
And that's a testament to you, right? You had the humility to say, oh, maybe I should do something about this. Like, and it's within my power to do something. Your goal, you didn't say, oh, I got to look like Arnold or any of these, you know, any of the other the fitness, the bodybuilders, whatever. That's the pursuit is to be safer and to live better. Better than you could last week, better than you could 2 months ago, right? Hmm. Progress, not perfection. I say this to all the guys and all my clients. But that's your own humility and your character to look at yourself and say, maybe this isn't the best. Maybe I should just start moving in a different direction. And that's it. And that's why you are now, 2 years later.
And I hope everybody that's listening today is kind of maybe on the edge of wanting to go. Go for a walk. I mean, I've had someone asking about an app, and they want to pay for it. And I'm like, why don't you look into your lifestyle and see what do you want to do? Why don't you walk a little more? Mm-hmm. And I go, how much soda do you have a day? They're like, two a day. I'm like, why don't you cut
it
down?
Have one.
One.
Right.
One a day or one every other day.
Just progress.
And then you could still have it. Don't do it. Cold turkey, because what's going to happen is you're going to desire it more.
Oh,
and then I've
you
done
burn
that.
Out. Right.
I've done that multiple times because I was in that predicament of I drank Mountain Dew every day, Pepsi every day, just because, like, even like after a fire, it's something that just calms my nerves, and it was something I just did. And
you all caught that, right? Mountain Dew calmed Nick down.
It did.
That's the standard,
it
right?
Calmed me down. And now I would have a Mountain Dew maybe once every other weekend or sort of once a week. I mean,
because you're human and you enjoy it, and that's okay.
And here and there I'll slip up. I'll have a few. I mean, I'm going camping for 2 weeks this week. And so I'm going off the rails because it's vacation.
Because it's vacation, and it gives you the fuel to be able to come back and say, "All right, I'm good. I'm good for a while. I can get back on the horse."
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I wish that people understood that fitness and the gym doesn't have to be miserable.
No. If you don't like running, don't
run. Run.
If you like walking, go walk. Right. I've done, and I've explained this to you when I run with my shin splits. Mm-hmm. I don't like running, but I did it because I wanted to. So I decided to stop walking mm-hmm. instead of running. Because why am I going to put myself through it to be miserable and do something that I do like? I bought a jump rope and I do that. I like doing that more than running. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I just modify my workouts like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Yeah. We all have to do things. If anybody thinks that you guys always like going to drill night.
Yeah, no.
That's a sacrifice.
There's some nights I don't want to, but then at the end of the day, and
it gets you better.
Same thing with fitness. When you don't want to go to the gym. There's multiple times I'm at the gym parking lot, sitting there for 10 minutes, not wanting to go. And it's like, I don't want to do this. But by the time I'm done, I'm like, I'm glad I did this. Mm-hmm. Same thing with drill. I'm mm-hmm. glad I did this because you feel refreshed and you feel like you accomplished something mm-hmm. at least that day. Mm-hmm. Let's say you don't do anything that day and you do that, then you feel accomplished.
Yes. Yes. Always. Always. So, it's something that I know that the maybe some of the older guys recoil at and are against, right, these standards, mm-hmm. but it can be another activity that congeals the department too, mm-hmm. right? And not everybody's at the same fitness level, and that's okay.
And you don't have to be.
Right, no. And we're all in different life situations.
And just think, when you'll be 70 and you got grandkids, mm-hmm. you won't be ill or... I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to get ill, but...
That's a very interesting point, Nick. So I do have two gentlemen who are both in their mid to late 70s. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, we all have different health situations and life situations, but the contrast is very interesting. I have one gentleman who just stayed fit his entire life. And again, never looked like Arnold, but... Was active, was a downhill skier, slalom and giant slalom, and was involved in a Sea-Doo racing team, and you know was always working with his hands and outside, and just really never stopped. And I have another gentleman who, there are some other health struggles, but he was in a line of work where he's been sitting. He's been sitting for his profession for 50 years. And again, I'll preface this by saying there is only so much that is within our control. Mm-hmm. Certain things we have no control over, right? Who gets cancer, who gets sick, who's got XYZ. However, generally speaking, and these two gentlemen are an example of it, there is a theme, a consistent theme that the people who just don't stop moving are healthier longer. They're cognitively more sharper. They're happier longer. These guys are the same age. One of them can't sit and stand on his own, uses a walker. Has fallen, I don't know how many dozens of times in the last year. The other gentleman, who I think is actually a few years older, is closer to 80.
Wow.
He had a hip replacement. I have him squatting and deadlifting. Now, not 400 pounds, but okay, an empty barbell, right? He's picking kettlebells up off the floor. And yes, okay, he's in his mid to late 70s, and he's moving he's not moving as well as you or I would, or somebody who's 18. Of course not. We age. We all age. But that contrast is so sharp. He's able to, you know, his family doesn't worry about him as much. his living situation is different, because he has invested by design or by motivation or not, all of this time into his movement and fitness. He's invested all of this time, money, and effort forever, that now he's drawing on all of those deposits he's made and all through his entire life, in his own independence. Now, by no fault of his own, this other gentleman, and this was his living, and you know, he was dealt certain hands in his health that he had no control over. Okay, but you know, now we're working on, all right, let's just get you to stand up out of the chair by yourself. And that's fine. And I've been working with him for, I think, almost 2.5 years. It's 2 years. He can almost do it. Like, we almost got him there.
That's awesome.
We almost got, you know, we got him standing straighter.
Yeah.
We got him, you know, picking things up off the floor, being confident without the walker. So, you know, progress, not perfection. We spend time outside. You know, he was inside for weeks at a time. You and I probably go nuts if we spend 3 hours inside without going outside, right? So the effect on your body that way. And we can go down the rabbit hole, right? But
yeah, that's
as we all age, this is just part of your life. And again, I'll say it till I die. Progress, not perfection.
Yeah, and you got to remind people that, because mm-hmm. I got to remind myself. You got to remind yourself again to you, because you're always in your mind saying, hey, I got to do better, I got to do better.
Right.
Better. But you got to also remember that you don't have to be perfect all the time. It's not going to happen.
That's right, it doesn't happen. And we are all aging, and I can't spend 3 hours in the gym like I used to.
Yeah.
Training and training to compete. And I have my bride and my children and a business to run. Right, so all things being equal, I need to keep it to an appropriate amount of dedication and devotion for this time of my life. I cannot work out for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week like I used to. It wouldn't be appropriate, because there are other priorities, and everything needs to be in its correct spot.
Yep.
Right. So,
but you should
anyway.
You should still make time for working out.
Yes.
At least a 15-minute walk. I mean, it does something.
The whole I don't have time thing.
Yeah.
You might not have an hour, to your point. You might not have 45 minutes. You might not have a half hour. You might not have 20 or 15. You got four.
I guarantee you we all have hours, because we have 24 hours in the day. And I know a lot of people are spending on their phones or Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's all how you prioritize on what you want to do.
Do a Tabata. 8 rounds, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. And try to get better every week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into training Larry and Dodd?
So Larry, I actually met when I was training myself and working at the CrossFit gym locally. So I've known Larry, I don't even know how many years I've known
25 Larry. 25 years, I think he said.
I knew him through friends and through my sister. I think I really started to get to know him about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Which is nuts that's 15 years ago now. But yeah, and so, you know, we have friends in common, and you realize the circles, you know, it's just a very small world, right? We know that. So I knew him. I got to know him very well at the CrossFit gym. And then I actually started to try to take on more fire departments. And so I was training Oakland Fire Department, and I knew that Larry and Ryan were nearby and local and connected with Franklin Lakes and Oakland Fire, of course, right? So originally I was training those guys. Oakland, I was training on Friday night. And Ryan, I was training maybe once a week. Once or twice a week, I forget at the time. Friday nights got to be tough. Oakland guys, for all of us, Friday evening is a tough evening. Yeah, of course. So that's understandable. You know, I had some work done on one of the trucks here, as you guys all know. Just to make it easier for me to back in and out of driveways, and because New Jersey drivers are so wonderful and aware of their surroundings.
Well, it doesn't matter how many lights you put on your truck, they still won't.
Exactly, yes, which I've come to find out.
Though, we would like to add more to your truck.
I would like to add more to my truck too, Nick, so maybe we can set that up. No, and so then, you know, in getting to know Ryan, actually, so I Ryan's cousin, Dan, was a training partner of mine for a few years. And so, again, small world. You know, everybody kind of knows everybody in the same circle. And so I was looking for work to be done here, and then the relationship grew a little bit. There's that word again, right, the relationship. And then I was training each of them, Ryan and Larry, once or twice a week. And then Ryan asked me about the possibility of coming to the shop to train everybody. It was really Ryan's idea. And then so that just snowballed, right? Now I'm training each of them twice a week. I come to the shop once a week, and I believe that it's been beneficial for everybody. You know, Larry's doing great. He's stronger. He's lost a lot of weight. Ryan's doing great. He's been more dedicated lately than he's been in a long time, right? He's down. He's stronger. He's faster. As all of you guys, right? Mm-hmm. I explained this to you yesterday or last week. I forget when we had the conversation. When we did Sally, the last time we did Sally. And just explaining to you how you have all progressed. Right, I keep track of, not necessarily in the group, you guys keep track of your weights and times, yeah, and everything, but for all of my one-on-one clients like Larry and Ryan, I keep track of all the numbers. So there's workouts that we repeat. There's movements that we repeat. Obviously, you know, for anybody in the fitness industry, right, that progressive overload and the super compensation that your body goes through in order to get stronger and faster. If you're not recording those numbers or measuring your or keeping a log of your workouts on some level, you don't know how to force that adaptation. And so I know that they both feel stronger. I know that they both feel faster and more capable just in life in general. Their motors are better. Of course, there's going to be little tweaks and twinges and everything along the way. Unfortunately, that's part of it.
Yeah,
it just is part of it. We're not 18 and 20 and 25 anymore. You're going to get a little pull here. You're going to get a little tweak there. But, you know, most of the guys understand that, you know. We're not sitting on the couch doing nothing. There's going to be a little bit of a risk. Of course, we do our best to watch form and technique, and you were always kind of walking the line of right, pushing right to that limit to force the adaptation without overdoing it. So, I think it's been great. They, you know, all of you guys work hard. Larry and Ryan work hard. Ryan's my earliest client. I see Ryan at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So I don't think anybody's going to outdo him there.
No. So, I don't think some people don't want to wake up that early.
That is really early. And I tell Ryan all the time how much I respect that. I will get up.
That's respectful.
That is really hard.
You don't want to get up when it's 5 o'clock in the morning because it's dark and you're just tired. And then it's nice to see some people able to get up and they'll work out, and then they'll be working 10, 12, 16 hours after that, and then they'll do it again. And
it's amazing because, you know, I confirm with him, you know, the night before, Monday night and Wednesday night, to make sure we're in.
And it shows dedication too.
It does. That's that consistency. Look, I think Ryan would say that if he doesn't do it, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, well, like, what's the alternative? I do think that what's helpful is, for any of us, right, it's helpful to have an appointment. It's helpful to have a commitment to someone else, your accountability partner, right, a training partner, a gym partner. In our case, and for my relationship with Ryan, like, I'm bringing everything. I'm showing up. I'm coming. That's – that it's hard to just roll over in bed and say, I'm just not going to go today. Well, no, John's outside.
Yeah. Like he will bang on your door. Right. And say, let's
go. There's a personal commitment there. Yes, it's a commitment to yourself, and you have a responsibility to yourself. But Ryan has made a personal commitment to me to show up, right? And you know, it's bigger than the business side of it. You know, I have a 24-hour cancellation policy. That if you cancel within 24 hours after the first one, I have to charge the session.
Yeah.
So there's that side of it, and you know, there's also the side of, look, if somebody's legitimately sick or there's a legitimate family issue, of course I would never charge a session. I'm not heartless. At least I like to think I'm not heartless.
We're doing those workouts. I don't know sometimes.
I don't feel like doing this tomorrow, or I don't feel like any, like. And this is not pointed at Ryan. We're talking about Ryan, but if this is for anybody. I don't feel like doing this tomorrow. Well,
why not?
I have to charge. Okay, yeah. Why not? But you know, the business side. Well, then I can't just let. Yeah. I can't let it go.
I have a business family to run.
Right. I got to feed my family. But I think that the personal responsibility and the personal commitment to someone is the motivation for all of my clients and all of my guys, more so than the 24-hour cancellation and you lose the session and you get charged the session, whatever. I think it's less – I like to think it's less that and more that, well, I've made a commitment to you. I'm going to be there and I'm going to show up.
And you make the commitment to show up.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, he's not going to show up today. It's
right.
We won't do it.
Right. And that's why it works.
Skip it. Yep.
That's why it works. And I take pride in that. And I like being able to provide that for people. So I don't know how we even got on that, but it's just part of your life. It's just part of your life.
You got to fold it into.
Oh, I said Ryan is my earliest client. 5:30. So yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing.
Can we book for 4:00? Would you do that?
I'll do it.
How early will you go?
As early as somebody wants to meet. Really, Mark, I stand by that. As early as somebody wants to meet, I will do.
That's a commitment.
Yeah, I've never canceled for weather. Ever.
Even in the snow?
Even in the snow. I've had people to tell me not to come.
Which is commendable of them.
I will come. I will show up. I don't care. Because your fitness is important.
Yeah.
Your fitness is important. The number of times where the roads are absolutely 100% impassable is zero.
Now, what did you just basically disconnect your trailer and just show up on your truck?
If it's that bad, I would do that. But it's never been bad enough. It hasn't.
That's good. That's right? Good to know. So, it's a commitment.
Brendan's like, oh no, he's gonna show up. I live around the corner from Brendan. And he's gonna show up. He's gonna show up at my house.
Yeah, you weren't there Wednesday night. You're showing up.
Look,
his house,
if you
sure
leave,
he does a book out.
And of course, look, I'm human, right? But I really do try to leave early enough. Where, look, if I gotta go slow and get there,
yeah.
And granted, if it's really stupid to go, then obviously I won't. Like I have to stay alive.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I get up and I look outside and I plan early enough to get wherever I need to get. And like, how many mornings in the winter is it really that bad?
Not that much.
Twice?
Yeah.
A year?
Usually
right?
It's done snowing by then and
right.
It's all clear.
Yeah.
That means we got to go back to work.
Right. That's right.
Usually we're praying. We're right. Like, come on, it'd be bad. And nope, it stopped snowing.
Go now, the work. Other side of it is that most of my clients are within 15 minutes. Really within 10.
Yeah.
So I'm not really going that far. And the people that I have who are farther, like Whippany and Florham Park, those are generally later in the day. So by that point, the road's clear. Right? So, So I am human. I have a responsibility to my wife and my children. I can't be stupid, but also there's a value in, I think, kind of pushing that and providing a service that I agreed to and that I made a commitment to provide.
And how do you understand, and like, we're all different, like, every one of us mm-hmm. are different. How would you go from programming a training session for even individually or a group session?
I think so. So what I generally do is I start with, okay, what do I want the movements to be? Like yesterday we did the rowing and the barbell thrusters. So you guys all know, so that there's three bars that I generally keep in the trailer, right? The training bar, the junior training bar is 25 pounds, the women's bar is 35, and the men's bar, the standard men's bar is 45 pounds. And so if you remember yesterday, I separated you into three groups. Now the rowers are all the same.
Yeah.
But I separated you into more or less who is capable of doing what weight. So I have the ideal or the goal workout, the ideal workout that I would like you to all be able to do. And then I can dial down the weight like I did yesterday. We can dial down the movement. Like an example would be push-ups. Like if you can't do push-ups yet, you scale it to your knees and I'll bring the mat. And you cross your ankles, put your knees on the mat, and you do push-ups that way. If that's too much, then we elevate it, right? So you every movement pretty much has a similar, easier movement, or at least something that works the same kind of a similar compound movement, or something that works muscles that are, or at least along the same lines. And so, I guess, Nick, I've just been doing it long enough that I have in my head a large enough bank of movements, like, for lack of a better term, a large enough log of movements that I can swap something out really fairly quickly. Like if someone has a little tweak or an injury or not capable of something or mobility issue, whatever, we can work with that. I can work with that. So the short answer would be it just comes from experience
mm-hmm.
And working with all different people of all different abilities. I think the goal is always is the stimulus less than because it's all the movements are all going to be difficult relatively speaking relative to that person. Meaning if I asked you how that 45-pound bar felt yesterday, you would maybe say, because it was light and we were doing high reps, maybe you would say you were using a 45-pound bar. Maybe you would say it was an RPE of 3, with the number of reps you were
doing. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that.
The rate of perceived exertion.
Yeah, it was heavy, it was light.
It was heavy, it was light.
That's it.
So now if I asked someone who I had on the 25-pound bar, what I try to pursue is that their RPE for that weight for them and their ability with and their strength level where they're at right now today, I try to get it to be also a 3. Another way to look at this is that you're after the stimulus, you're after a difficulty level, you're after a rep range, you're after a certain sensation, you're pursuing a certain number of reps before you fatigue. And so the weight is almost inconsequential. If we're looking for a rep range, well, then X weight is you're only going to be able to do X number of reps at a given weight. And so we want what I try to do is give a weight or a movement that gets all of you in a group to that rep range. If you remember when we first started, I said, okay, guys, there's a learning curve here. There's a learning curve from you to my direction in learning how I coach, learning some of the terms, learning how a session goes, understanding just understanding like how I work, understanding the pace of a session and all of those things. There's also a learning curve from me to you, the athlete. Okay, How does Nicholas move? How does Bria move? How does Brennan move? What are Lee's strengths and weaknesses? Although I don't think Lee has any weaknesses.
No, I don't think so. He's old. I'm not gonna say he's old, but
careful.
he's up there in age, and when you look at the young guys that are mm-hmm. there, and he's just cranking them out, yep. and you're like,
it's amazing. So Lee is
something?
The only. I have never seen anyone, and I've said this to Lee. I hope I've said it to Lee. Said it to Ryan. I'm saying it again, at the very least. I have never seen anybody not only complete Sally the first time, but the guy didn't move. No. His hips were level with his shoulders the entire time. He didn't shift his feet. He didn't shift his hands. He wasn't like resting one side or the other.
He wasn't shaking.
It was amazing to watch. I've never seen that from anybody ever. And I've been, in the fitness world for now it's 15 years.
It's incredible. And that shows.
So anybody who doesn't know what Sally is, the Sally Challenge, right? Is the song is Flower by Moby. It says the words are green Sally up, green Sally down. So it sounds like bring Sally up, bring Sally down, and you do a high plank for green Sally up and low plank for bring Sally down. And so you try to go the whole song. Very few people make it the first time. It's like 3:26, I think, technically on Spotify.
We got to make it longer.
Or you do 1 foot or you put a weight on you somehow. Yeah. Well, that's another conversation. yes, that's amazing. And so – point being, like, we're all after a stimulus. No veteran lifter, no veteran person in the gym is going to look at somebody doing lightweight who's in the gym consistently working hard and say, oh, he's only doing 15-pound dumbbell presses? Yeah. No, because it doesn't matter the weight. It matters the effort level and the stimulus that you're after. So
he's putting the time in.
He's consistent. He's here. He's working. Anybody who's been in this world, in the fitness world for long enough, would tell you that. Nobody cares.
Everybody's like, oh, I don't want to look silly when I grab the 10-pounders. No. No one cares.
Nobody cares.
We're doing our thing. And
the people who are in the best shape and the people who look like the beasts in the gym are going to be your best cheerleaders. The people that you might be intimidated by and maybe uncomfortable around are the people who would be your best friend because you think they were born that way? No. So they know exactly where you're at and they know exactly what it takes and they're the friendliest people.
Yeah. And it shows they put the work in. And
yes.
No one's going to do it for you.
Let me tell you something. Even people who are on maybe taking steroids or enhanced or whatever, it doesn't mean you don't have to work. You still got to work your butt off.
Yeah.
Hard a lot, and you have to eat right and all of it. Like, it doesn't just, you can't just like take those things and sit on the couch.
Eating
it's a lot
right
of work.
Is
that's the hardest
difficult.
Part. Yeah, that's the hardest part. So, anyway,
how'd you, with eating right, with having kids, how'd you regulate that between the kids' food and your food and just trying to keep it nutritionist?
The easy answer is that you're going to eat the way you shop. It was a challenge for me, especially not with an infant, because they're either breastfeeding or they're on formula or whatever, and we all do what we're capable of doing with that. But toddlers and young children has become definitely more challenging for me. I started to lose it a little bit.
Yeah,
and so I had to really center myself. I'm not perfect. I had to really kind of reel it in and. Now, my children eat the way we eat.
Correct.
Does that mean there's not like treats and whatever and kid food? Yeah, of course there is. But I would say definitely within the last 6 months, right? It's grilled chicken and it's veggies, whether they're frozen or whatever, and it's complex carbs and. We've stopped having sweet cereal for breakfast, even though it's easy. Look, to eat poorly is easy. right? It's easier. It's cheaper.
Easy and it's, yeah. No, it's just took it out of my mouth because it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper. I could go to Wendy's, yep. get a $6 baggie, yep. and it'll fill me up. But no. a salad's $15.
They're children, right? Life is real, right? And so we all do the best that we can do. You're going to eat the way you shop. And if you shop a certain way and put healthy things in the fridge and in the pantry, then that's what they have to eat. So when, as a dad, right, anybody who's listening who's a dad, you hate to see food go to waste. And so either it's leftovers or you finished our plate or whatever. If you are doing that and it's grilled chicken and, you know, mashed potatoes, good, healthy, like real mashed potatoes and veggies or grilled veggies or, you know, fish or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You don't feel so bad about eating it because it's like what you're eating anyway. You know, what kid doesn't like chicken nuggets and mac and cheese? Okay, well, let's make less mac and cheese, or let's make it from scratch, real, as best as we can, without, you know, 14 pounds of butter in it. You know, the chicken nuggets, we found, I think last year, a year and a half, whatever the time was, we found real chicken breast, like that you can see the meat, the grain of the meat, and it was lightly breaded. So that's what we make for them instead of the mush that's molded into whatever.
Yeah.
That looks like cornmeal inside. Like, I don't know what animal that came from. It's everything but the meat, pretty much. It's like if you looked into how it was made, it's disgusting.
Yeah. It may taste good, but if you really look into
it's garbage. Right. So, you know, if Mandy or I are finishing one of their plates, like, that's real chicken. And, the mac and cheese, all right, well, it's real pasta, and it was real cheese, and, you know, the butter thing, it's not the butter that's bad. We can get into the whole calorie conversation, but, you know, we try to really limit the chemicals, and the ingredient lists are short as best we can. Again, progress, not perfection. So to answer your question, I guess, with, you know, eating with the kids, I would say the flow chart would be you're going to eat the way you shop. Anybody is going to eat the way you shop. Your kids are going to eat what's in the house. If you're buying them, if we need to buy them snacks or there's juice or whatever, you try to do the best you can. Sweet cereals, you know, do they get to pick a little bit of a sweet cereal here and there? Of course. Is it every morning?
No.
Absolutely not. Eggs in the morning. They have eggs. We make eggs and egg whites. And this morning we did a little bit of chicken sausage. They are so much more even through more of the day, and they don't snack as much. You can see the difference. There's no, like, we don't do the whole Pop-Tart thing. We don't do, like Lucky Charms. I don't know what that is, but it's not food. Now, are there Lucky Charms on the top of the fridge at home? Yes. Is that a treat for special times sometimes because they're kids? Yes. Do we fill the bowl and then it's overflowing? No, because then what happens? Then who's going to finish it?
You will.
And that's not good.
No.
Because then...
And that's not portion control either.
It's... Right. Right. Look, we all got that line, right? You can have as much as you want, but you got to finish your plate. And that's part of parenting. No kid finishes their plate all the time. So, you know, that's part of a learning curve for us as parents too, right? Okay, how much is each kid eating and, like, how much do we put on there and try to hold that line of, like, learning to finish what you start? All of that, all of those moving parts. Yeah, I mean, we could go down the rabbit hole, but that's what I would say.
And do you do a lot of meal prep, or is it cooking every night?
So I don't really have the time to meal prep in the traditional sense of, like, what people would say is meal prepping. But if I'm grilling chicken, I'm making, you know, 6 chicken breasts and there's leftovers. If we're making rice or doing or baked potatoes, we'll make enough so that there are leftovers on purpose so that it's a little more time efficient. Cooking 6 chicken breasts versus cooking 3 is no different time-wise. No. Making, you know, 4 baked potatoes versus making 2 is no different.
It's so more I would say, prep.
Yeah, you just like when I cook normally or Mandy cooks normally, we just make extra and then it's like in the fridge and it's easy, quick go.
Or throw it in the freezer so you could have it next week if possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what I've done and learned is I've done BJ's and it's actually something I didn't realize. I bought pork chops, and I'm thinking they're this thick. Mm-hmm. I bought what came in it was 7. I made 17 out of them. I cut them up. I seasoned them. I cooked them. Mm-hmm. Took me half hour to cook them. Yeah. And then I threw them in the freezer so I could have them for this whole month. If I don't That's have
it. It's just easier that way.
Some lunch, just grab it.
I don't – there was a time where I would, like, fill the Tupperwares and measure everything. I don't have the time to do that. I just don't. Between running the business and the kids, like, I could make the time, but I'm choosing other priorities, like, you know, wrestling with my kids or spending time or reading to my daughter or whatever, right? There's other things that I'm choosing right now. So,
yeah. And you don't have to be perfect with that as of if you keep your portions down, if you're eating right, you don't have to be perfect about it.
Right.
You don't have to measure. I know someone.
I weigh and measure most of the time. I oh, don't do it all the time. Yes, I do. Most of the time I do.
My buddy's son is religiously, mm-hmm. like, he would take chicken out of his pocket and they put it on a scale. He'll take the scale out of his pocket mm-hmm. and he'll put the chicken on and measure. Oh, got to cut this up. Nope.
Right, you can't. Right. Yeah. He's dialed in.
He is dialed, and he looks good. He has a 6-pack and all, and he did
That's what it takes.
And he does this bodybuilder program mm-hmm. In Baltimore.
Wow.
Where he lives, and he looks great. I mean,
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
But a lot of people don't have that dedication to do that.
That's not always compatible with real life. That level of specificity, right? So what also starts to happen is when you weigh and measure for a long time, you kind of have a sense of where you're at during the day, or like how much protein, like this. Roughly this much chicken is roughly this much protein. Roughly this much oatmeal is this many carbs or whatever. So, or, you know, a banana that's this big is roughly this much. So, and
same thing with calories.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to kind of have an idea of where you're at. I will weigh and measure to give me an idea of like where I need to be during the day. And so it does get me where I need to be. And like, I've been cutting for the summer, right? So I want to make sure that I'm hitting a protein number, but my calories are a little less. So it helps to keep me on track. But I've been doing it long enough that I don't need to be like down to the grain of sugar anymore.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I put sugar in my coffee. Speaking of coffee, which camera am I looking at? Oh, Poor City is in Franklin Lakes, if anybody is local. They're great. It's a great family. Jim and Allison and Sean are the owners. Anybody should go check them out. As a law enforcement family, so that's a great place to check out.
Do they have donuts?
They have croissants. My son loves their croissants.
I don't know if that's offensive to them, but
well, they have croissants. They have coffee cake. They have they have some treats in there.
It's awesome. Definitely got to try that out.
They roast it there. They roast the coffee there. Roasting machine. The I guess the oven or whatever they would call it is there, and they roast it there.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome because coffee.
I mean, most of the coffee shops around here is Dunkin' and all that, and Dunkin' it's all imported. Starbucks. So it's nice to see companies and roast their own beans and stuff.
Yes.
But
yeah, I mean, you'll go in and you'll see Jim sitting in front of the roaster. It's great. I mean, you know, he'll explain it to you. He'll let you watch. I mean, great.
It's awesome.
Great company, great people. For sure. Go check them out. Poor City in Franklin Lakes.
Will do. Well, John, thank you for coming on to our podcast. And we do appreciate what you do on Wednesdays. And it's awesome that the company lets us do this for an hour on the clock. Mm-hmm. So that is awesome
that they invest in that for you guys.
And it shows they care about how we are physically active and try to keep us more motivated to keep working.
Well, I mean, so maybe that's something we could say real quick. I mean, the benefit of that is you guys are all you're working together on something that's not work. I'm sure that the vibe in the shop before and after the workouts is great. I'm sure that there have been changes since you guys have been working out together. It's nice to know in all of you in the back of your minds that the bosses support you and care about you. Who else does that? Pays you all for your workouts and pays you to work out.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that now. And look, does it keep you all healthy? Of course it keeps you healthy. Does it keep you stronger and safer? Of course, like we talked about with the fire thing. So it's amazing. And I'm grateful for the opportunity from Ryan and Larry. So
Some people might say it's an hour off work, and technically is. And then you'll have other people that complain, which, you know what? Why don't you try it? And there's a couple people I'm like, just come work out with us.
Just try it.
I don't want to get that big. Which I'm like,
well, that's a whole other conversation. I mean, you got to try so hard to do that. I've been trying to do that for 15 years.
It's like, just try it. Have fun with it.
Yes.
Like,
it's just fun.
We got a couple people that do it and then they're like, oh, I don't want it today. And I'm like, let's go. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. It's fun. We get off work. We're able to re-stem and able to.
And the banter is awesome. it's amazing. The banter's great. Yeah, so Nick, thank you for having me. Thank you, 1075, for having me. Ryan and Larry, you guys are great, and I appreciate you both very, very much. I appreciate 1075 very much. I am always happy to do a demo for anybody. I'm always happy to do to show anybody the trailer. Nobody's really doing what I'm doing in terms of the mobile gym and bringing everything to somebody's place of business or somebody's home. Always happy to have a phone conversation or nutrition. If there's a group of people who would like to try a workout, if there's an individual who would like to try a workout, I'm happy to have that conversation and set that up on me for sure. So thank you very much.
Nice having you.
Good to be here.